there's moonbeams in your elbows, and there's rivers in your hair. And I wanna see you forever, babe, forever. Don't take me back in time now, but there's nothing for me there. Welcome to On the Wing Podcast, fueled by Purina Pro Plan. Consider today, in this episode, your audio tour previewing our upcoming National Pheasant Fest and Quail Classics return to Kansas City for the third time. All right, I'm going to throw out trivia right out of the gates in the intro. Who can tell me the other previous 2 years that we were in Kansas City off the top of their head?
13 and 16.
You're close.
17. I just know 2016 was
16
for sure.
16 is the most recent.
Yeah.
Oh.
2012 and 2016.
12, 16, 2025.
You got it. Those will be the three. 2012, 2016, and then 2025.
Nice.
Coming up March 6th, if you include the concert. March 7th for the show itself through the 9th. So as you're listening to this, you can count the days away, depending on when you're listening, on your fingers, maybe your toes. So we're getting ready and serving as your tour guides on this audio preview. You've heard their voices. Shannon Hoheisel, Corporate Partnerships Manager, member of Team German Shorthaired Pointer.
Yes,
high
sir.
High five.
High five.
Luke Ramthune. He's already grinning. Luke Ramthune, Senior Corporate Partnerships Account Executive and a member of Team Large Munsterlander. And rounding out our preview podcast, Jake Hansen, Director of Development and also a member of Team GSP. So you have two GSPs, right?
I have two, yeah.
Shannon has?
One.
One.
Yep, right now.
How many Munsterlanders do you
one,
have?
One, and I got to say I feel a little singled out here, guys. I'm surrounded by the king of breeds here.
So the Labrador Retriever fans would disagree with
right,
that.
Right.
Yeah, but, well, that's one of the great pieces, great elements of National Pheasant Fest and Quail Classic. The short hair folks will be the minority very quickly because there'll be a whole lot of other breeds in Kansas City, and that's one of the charms. Thank you all for joining and sharing some memories and some excitement for what's coming up in Kansas City. You say Kansas City, I say Kansas City, I think. The Chiefs, the Royals, and barbecue.
Barbecue.
So... our Kansas City native on our team, Jordan Martinsich, who is your boss, right?
Mm-hmm.
He's like, do you need me to jump on this episode with you guys? We're doing it in person, and so unless you want to fly up, that's how we got Jake tapped in because you're semi-local on the other side of the river.
I am. Well, yeah, sorta.
So, you live in Eau Claire now, right?
I do. 10 years in South Dakota. So we first met, Bob, I was in South Dakota as a PF volunteer, and now I've jumped two state borders to the land of green and gold in Eau Claire, Wisconsin.
So we're going to consider you local, which is how you got here. But Jordan threw out a very good trivia, well, maybe not trivia nugget, but since this is your nickel tour, maybe your dime tour of Pheasant Fest, you say, you know, for those listeners and coming to Kansas City for the first time from points north, south, east, and west, let me give them my recommendations for Kansas City barbecue.
Ooh.
And his top three, number one on his list, is Arthur Bryant's. Luke, have you ever eaten at Arthur Bryant's?
I have not.
Shannon, have you eaten at Arthur Bryant's?
I have.
You
what?
Have? Jake, have you?
No.
So give us, I have not eaten at Arthur, I've bought the barbecue sauce and the rub, but I've never eaten at that restaurant.
It was good. You know, in planning for a large pheasant fest, you make lots of trips.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
So, no, it was good. I was, that one repeatedly got advised for us to visit.
It's
so
super famous.
It was, yes, yes.
So on a, and stuff. Let's do a chef scale, five chef's kisses, you know, as the top rating, where would you put Arthur Bryan's?
Ooh.
And are you a barbecue aficionado?
I do love barbecue. Okay. I actually help organize a barbecue competition.
So you have some qualifications.
It's really good. It's a little, I mean, it's a different environment feel. There are others on the list that I would say I enjoyed more.
Okay.
So I'd probably say, if we're going to go out of five, I would say four.
Okay. Arthur Bryan's with a four. Tops on Jordan's list. Gates. Have you eaten at Gates, Luke?
No. He's
shaking his head no. Jake?
No.
Shaking his head no. I have not eaten at Gates. Again, I've bought the barbecue sauce. You can buy anything on Amazon, let's be honest. Have you, Shannon, eaten at Gates?
I have not.
Oh, okay.
So I am in the same barbecue, though, sauce.
You've bought, yeah. Yes. It's the guy walking down the street.
Oh, I know which one you're talking about now. Okay, but I don't know if I can say that I've purchased it.
No. 2011, when we started going to Kansas City, like pre-planning for meetings, it was probably even before that, since our 2012 event was there, I got hooked on barbecue. Barbecue sauce. So I've frequently bought the sauces, but not necessarily been going to all the restaurants. In the number three on Jordan's list, so the one that's not on his list was used to be called Oklahoma Joe's,
yeah,
and it's now Kansas Joe's. Do you guys remember? Have you eaten at this one?
No, but if you look up like Kansas City barbecue sauce,
mm-hmm. Yeah.
Those are these three, and then Joe's shows up. Yep.
And that's the one, like for me, that was head and shoulders above any of the rest. But it's not on Jordan's list. Jordan's list, which is very good, I've been to this one, is Jack Stack. Luke, have you been to Jack Stack?
I can't say that I have.
Really? I thought you went to this one.
It could have been.
This one's only a couple blocks from the convention center.
No, I didn't go to. I had a partner bring me to a small joint in Olathe that was super good, but I don't think it was one of these on the list. Okay. So.
Shannon?
I have been to Jack's Tag.
Jake?
What I'm learning is that I might book a couple days on the, on the front and back end of Pheasant Fest here.
Yep.
And how would you rate Jack Stack?
Really enjoyed Jack Stack. Me too. It was really good.
Yeah.
And that one had been repeatedly suggested as well. But I enjoyed Jack Stack probably the most out of the list.
Hmm. I would have put it number two after Oklahoma, now Kansas Joe's. Yeah. So there's your barbecue preview coming from couple like of Minnesotans in a Wisconsinite.
Some hot
dish.
So take
that for what it's worth.
Yeah.
We ordered nothing hot on the menu, in other words. No,
there was, Jordan did share with me that if you're listening to this and you're planning to go to Pheasant Fest and you want to go experience some of that, the best places to eat barbecue in Kansas City, you might want to call ahead because it's going to be busy.
Yeah.
So reservations recommended.
In newsflash, they do have other food outside of barbecue.
They do.
Just, you know, it doesn't trip your trigger. All right. We're going to dive into all things National Pheasant Fest and, very important, Quail Classic. We'll talk about some of the attractions, the stages, exhibitors, memories. We're going to dive deep, have a lot of fun. Before we get rolling, I am proud to recognize Purina ProPlan as the national dog food sponsor of Pheasants Forever and Quail Forever's Wildlife Habitat Mission and the presenting sponsor of On the Wing podcast. All three of my pups, Esky, Gitchy, and Winter, all eat Purina ProPlan twice a day, not just because Purina supports our organization and our wildlife habitat mission, which is incredibly important to me. But because Purina has a team of the world's best scientists and nutritionists behind their dog food, you can learn more at ProPlanSport.com. Purina ProPlan, nutrition that performs. And if you don't have the opportunity to look up ProPlanSport.com, they got a giant booth on the show floor at National Pheasant Fest and Quail Classic. And some of those veterinarians, including Ruth Ann Lobos and our good friend, not a veterinarian, but our good friend Carl Gunzer, and a whole bunch of Purina folks will be at National Pheasant Fest and Quail Classic. So you can talk to them, pick their brains. All right. So part of the strategy here is I want to cover a lot of ground and go around the horn with a lot of questions and kind of give people, listeners, a flavor for the event. If they haven't ever been to this event, I frequently do radio interviews about National Fest, right? And yeah, feel like, what can people expect to see at Pheasant Fest and Quail Classic? And I have this perception that the average, you know, person in Missouri or Kansas that hears a commercial is like, oh, bunch of rednecks wearing blaze orange and shotgun lovers are coming to town. And to an extent, that's true, right? I mean, that is, you know, there's definitely
that. I resemble that.
Yeah, I mean, that's part of it, but it represents so much more, right? I mean, it is next to Westminster Dog Show. It's the biggest sporting dog event in the country. It's a farm and tractor show with John Deere and Truax and all kinds of different components of the agricultural community. It is a hunting show, you know, shotguns and blaze orange and all sorts of gear for the gear junkie in your life. It's an art show, arts and crafts show with painters and wood carvers and sculptors and feather art. There's a youth village for kids. It's a super family-friendly event. So when people hear Pheasant Fest and Quail Classic, I don't think it, you know, it doesn't fully give a sense of everything that's going on until somebody puts their eyes on it. And then they're like, holy bleep, this is this is pretty spectacular. So that's what I want to kind of hit on, some of those things. So start with Luke, just getting a sense of how much experience we all have with the event. How many Pheasant Fest and Quail Classics have you participated
in? Yeah, so this will be my eighth fest. Yeah, planning with exhibitor sponsors. And
So explain that a little bit. What's your role with exhibitors and sponsors?
Yeah, so we book all the corporate partners' booths and exhibitor areas on the show floor and get them set up with all their needs and help, you know, just like you said, communicate what the show's all about with our corporate partners so they can share and spread the word and amplify our message. So, yeah, I just work with the exhibitors and the sponsors on the show floor.
Number eight, what was your first one?
South Dakota.
Sioux Falls.
First Sioux Falls.
Okay.
Yeah.
Shannon, this is a complicated answer for you, right? Because you have your pre Pheasants Forever employment in your post. So how many total have you been to?
So this has been, this will be six.
Six in total?
Yep.
Okay. And four of those? So, no, three of those.
So three were, over at the Flush when I was with a partner.
So three with the Flush and three now with Pheasants Forever and Quail Forever.
Yeah, it's exciting.
Jake?
This will be my fifth.
Okay.
Fourth as an employee, and my first one came as a PF chapter volunteer.
That's right.
In 2020, right before the COVID shutdown.
Okay, so 2020, where was that one at?
Minneapolis.
Yeah. And then where was your first one, Shannon?
That was Minneapolis.
Okay.
Because then I hit.
Well, we missed a year of Pheasant Fest.
We missed the 2021, was the COVID year.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Because I did Minneapolis, Schaumburg, and Omaha.
Okay.
With the Flush.
Yeah, Omaha was the first one out of the pandemic. All right, so we got a few under. So we got 6, 8, and 5. I have all of them.
Yeah.
Bob, how many Bob. Do you have?
However many there have been. I started, I started January 6th as an employee of 2003. And I believe the first event, which was the 20th anniversary of Pheasants Forever, because Quail Forever didn't even exist at that time. That was so January 12th, I think, was the first, January 12th, 2003 was the first one at the Minneapolis, the Bloomington Radisson in Bloomington, Minnesota. And then the Hotel Sofitel was kind of the host hotel, which was across the street. So yeah, I was like 6 days in when, but it was funny because I sat down on day one. And Joe Dugan, it's like, yeah, we got this event coming up. Can you write a radio commercial for it? It's like, yeah, tell me about it. Do we not have advertising? Well, we got a little, but we kind of need more. It's like, it's happening in 6 days, dude.
We've grown a little bit since then.
Yeah, it's taken on a life of its own. But yeah, it was 03, and then at the time we had in every other year cadence. So we did 03, didn't have one in 04, went to Omaha in 05, didn't have one in 06, went to Des Moines in 07, to the Xcel Energy Center in 08 in St. Paul. 09 we were in Madison. 10 we were back to Des Moines. 11 I think it was Omaha, 12, Kansas City, 13 was Milwaukee, or maybe it was Minneapolis, and then Milwaukee was 14. So I've been to all of them, but they start to get fuzzy, let me tell you.
I'm impressed. You remember the years and locations.
Mm-hmm. Well, at one time I could tell you all the World Series winners back to the 60s before I was born, but that's
now left you.
Some of it has, yeah.
It's been replaced by Pheasant Fest knowledge.
Yeah, the Orioles and the
there's
Pirates
only
are
so
all
much
in
storage
there.
Up there, yeah.
Yeah. All right. Luke, what's your favorite aspect of the event?
Man, I mean, it's really tough to say, but I mean, for me personally, if I'm being honest, it's got to just be that reunion aspect. Mm. I know a lot of us employees mention that, you know. Seeing everybody who comes to Pheasant Fest is like that extended family on a holiday, to see them once a year. And it really is bringing together that entire upland hunting, outdoor conservation community once a year. So besides the large Munchlander booth and all my friends over there, you guys.
Which is part of it.
Which is part of it, which is a huge part of it, right? But it's just coming together. And I would say, you know, for, excuse me, for an attendee, you know, it's really hard to see everything in one day. Mm-hmm. So if you're looking for that come together aspect, you know, plan a weekend around it, get your seminars on that you want to go see, and then you'll be able to see the booths, and there's so much. So yeah, we invite everybody to come out and experience this reunion aspect with us for sure.
Yeah. And I always think about that reunion aspect having a lot of different layers to it, meaning we have that connection with our own co-workers that many of them we don't even see. We maybe see them on a Teams call, but the one time a year in person is at National Pheasant Festival Classic. Then there's the exhibitor component, our partners, the Carl Gunzers, the Ben Bredigans of the world. And then there's the chapter volunteer piece, you know, where you're seeing volunteers from across the country. Then there's the dog connection, and each of us have little different connection, even within the same breed. Like, you know, I'll go see, you know, the short hair club, or, you know, there'll be people like related to Top Gun kennels or, you know, some connection through a field trial that isn't maybe directly linked. You know, my breeder's different than your breeder sort of thing. And you have a different level there. So there's so many different components of the family reunion. Some of them are dysfunctional, some of them not as much, but they're all pretty fun.
Right.
Shannon, what's your favorite?
You're welcome. Again, it's a challenging question because there's a lot. I think the thing that I love the most is the vibe, and we hear about that a lot. We hear about it from exhibitors and partners, attendees, even host cities, that our event just has a really cool, positive vibe that you don't find, you know, at every show, that we're very unique in that manner. And even my favorite is when a partner comes for the first time and you ask them, right, what do you think? And they're like, everybody's so nice. And they just want to, right, they want to talk bird dogs. They want to talk about, you know, their first hunt, or, you know, the stories from this last fall, or where they're going and where they want to book, you know, and go next year. And it's just a really cool vibe, and there's something for everybody. So families have a great time. There's a lot of really neat elements, men, women, old, young, like it's just, it's a neat vibe for everybody. So that's probably my favorite.
Yeah.
Is just that positive and welcoming vibe, and everybody gets excited to come. So for that reason, and leave with new ideas and fueled you know, passion for the uplands and for conservation. So
it makes sense, right? Like, some of our most cherished moments are being out in the field with dogs, with family, or with friends, and this event is a mirror,
right,
of what makes us happy as human beings and individuals. So when you're sharing that with, to, you know, Luke's point, people that you like, people that share the same things, and then you add, you know, some shotguns and some dogs and the chance to win a hunt or book a hunt, and like, the vibe's pretty cool, you know, a lot of fun. What do you think, Jake?
I've been thinking about your word aspect of the event, so not a specific, because I've got a lot of favorite specific things, but an aspect of the event that I think not everybody knows is that this event is PFQF employee planned and facilitated. So there's some authenticity to what you experience at Pheasant Fest, because it's been carefully planned and, you know, discussed, and we value feedback from our members and supporters of what would you like to experience at Pheasant Fest. And then our team gets together for many, many hours. I'm looking at everybody around the room and I'm thinking to myself, oh, I bet your schedule in the next 2 weeks is crazy. So we pull this off, and it is an incredible event. But there's some authenticity there, because this is PF employee volunteer-led. And it's not like we're contracting somebody else to throw our party. We're throwing this party.
Right.
The biggest, we'll say, party in the upland community every year. So I love that authenticity piece, and I think that's where the connections derive from and the energy comes from, because it's undeniable from the moment that you will get to the will call booth. If you're waiting to grab your tickets, like, the energy's already there and you haven't even gotten into the show floor or to an evening event. I mean, that's pretty cool.
Yeah. That's a good point.
That's a really good point.
The original, say, three events, we contracted a company, it's called Superior Productions, Michael Bagley, to help us get this off the ground and create the blueprint and get it running. So shout out to Michael, who helped craft this. But yeah, maybe I'm thinking like 2008-ish when we went to every year. We're like, yep, we're going to do this ourselves at every level. And you're right, it is a reflection of the organization and who we are and what we want to accomplish. That's pretty cool. I hadn't thought about that in years and years and years. All right, Shannon and Luke, this is kind of a two-part question that's mostly directed to both of you, since you work with all the exhibitors, which total almost 400, I think. We'll start, Luke. Give us your most interesting one you're looking forward to on the kind of the big name side, and then also the small mom and pop side. What are two exhibitors that are on your radar that folks should be making sure to stop and check out?
I've got a shout out on the big name, just local partners. So first thing that comes to mind is Garmin. They're there locally, just locally south in Olathe, Kansas area. So they're looking to bank a big splash on the show floor, and they're inviting a bunch of folks in. So I'm super excited about the Garmin booth. We talked about it before we hit record. CZ's, they're local as well. So two great partners from the area that are looking to make a big splash. I'm most excited about those.
And we have to say hello to our buddy Rayhan.
Oh, for sure. Yeah.
Rayhan was a public relations employee for, gosh, I want to say like 5 years before he moved back home. He moved back to Missouri Department, Missouri Conservation Federation before going to Garmin. He's been at Garmin like a decade now. A great guy. So we're looking forward to seeing Rayhan.
Yeah, for sure. For sure. And then my smaller, I mean, there's so many, right? It's tough to even start, but, one is local again. Olathe Gun Shop is a local gun shop just south of there. And they have a really cool history, just a great destination shop. So if you're local or you're coming from out of town, you got to check them out. I mean, I can literally walk in there and there's a LC Smith 16 gauge on the shelf that they will not give me a discount on. So
it's still available.
It's apparent. I mean, they won't let me have it, but for what I can afford. But
that's cool.
Yeah, Olathe Gun Shop is a unique local flavor. And then the other one I have to mention is the most comfortable upland vest in the industry, Marsupial.
Oh yeah.
So this will be their first fest, and I'm super excited.
Where are they based?
So they're out of Phoenix.
Phoenix. Arizona. Okay. This will be their first one.
Very first one. Yeah. Okay. They're more known for their bino harnesses and arrow quivers and that kind of thing, more big game. But they make a great upland vest that I run, and so super excited to have them.
And they were part of our vest review in the Super issue, right?
Yep. That's right.
Yeah. Yeah, relatively newer partner of ours.
Yep.
Shannon, same question to you.
It's hard.
It's not a trick question.
Under 400. Yeah. The thing that I guess I'm excited with being down in Kansas City and not, up in the neck of the woods of Minnesota, South Dakota, it's been fun that we have some new ones coming in that we maybe haven't seen. In just the recent couple of years. So I feel like apparel wise, especially being down more in quail country, between, the over under and, ball and buck and duck camp and marsh wear, that they're all coming to play.
All four over under, marsh wear, duck camp and ball and buck all going to be on the show floor.
And we've got Kuyu. That's joining us this year. We've got some fun, apparel. Maybe that's from my side of things. But I'll be doing some shopping.
And they make some great leather goods. Because every time I stop by all of those vendors, it seems like there's something that goes home with me. So I'm excited that they're coming. And I better make sure my spouse knows. So,
I'm glad you brought up Quail Forever. It's no secret. It's the 20th anniversary year for Quail Forever. Luke, you're part of the we got a subcommittee in the organization to celebrate that, help make sure we stay on course celebrating the 20th anniversary. Yep. You serve in that role. And tell us a little bit about what's happening at the event related to Quail Forever's 20th.
Yeah, so there's a quail component integrated to almost every part of the show floor. Even the main row has been rebranded to Quail Trail. So we've got a lot of stuff going on. And wasn't Kansas City the first one that we added, the Quail Classic? Didn't I hear you say that?
Yeah, 2012. Before that, it used to just be National Pheasant Fest.
Right.
And in 2012 in Kansas City, it became Pheasant Fest and Quail Classic. So it made sense for the 20th anniversary to be in Kansas City.
To be right here. Yeah. And our first official Quail Forever chapters out of Missouri, right?
Yeah. St. Louis.
Okay. Yeah. So right in the area. So yeah, we have a ton going on. We're super excited about, as I mentioned, the Quail Trail. We actually have a quail covey area that is designated for quail specific exhibitors. We've got a number of different outfits and plantations on the show floor. Our friends from Alabama Black Belt Adventures will be back. We have an outfitter called El Dorado out of Bernie, Texas, and they do wild quail hunts in Mexico, which is pretty exciting. I don't remember having them in the past. Prairie Wildlife out of Mississippi, Southwinds Plantation will be there. So we have a number of quail specific outfitters, and then, as we already talked about, a ton of exhibitors that are headquartered in Quail Country. So as she mentioned, the Over Under, the Bird Buggies, the Duck Camps. We've got Buckshot out of Louisiana, Gundog Grind out of Tennessee, Cable Gangs from Louisiana, Marsupial we mentioned out of Phoenix. So yeah, just a ton of quail-centric events. And then not to mention our band is coming from Quail Country. We'll talk about Muscadine Bloodline a little bit later when we talk about our Concert for Conservation. So we're excited about that. And then so that's the second annual. But we have the first annual Bob White Ball we'll talk about mm-hmm. as well. So a ton of quail. We're going to have a great celebration around our 20th. So
at a quail stage. A quail stage. First time there's ever been right. a quail stage. Every yep. half hour or hour, a different quail-oriented seminar yep. On the main show floor. And we'll be premiering our 20th anniversary Quail Forever film as part of the event, too, which we'll touch on some of that. But, yeah, it's a... for sure, the most quail heavy representative elements of the Quail Forever organization in the 20th anniversary. So,
we've been giving away quail for Family Day on Sunday.
There you go.
First 500.
Not
real. Not live.
Let's be clear.
Rocked Outdoor. Quail dog toys.
All right. Let's. I mentioned stages. We've got five different stages. We've got the public land stage, the bird dog stage, the path to the upland stage, habitat stage, and the quail classic stage. Like I said, it depends, but every half hour or every hour, there's a different speaker, panel, seminar, press conference, session. We'll jump back to Luke. What's circled with a highlighter on the agenda that you're interested in catching during the 3 days?
Yeah, it's tough. I mean, you just can't miss. There's so much to see, and like I said, something for everybody. You can jump on pheasantfest.org and click on highlights and events and find something that's right for you. But ever since I got my bird dog, I've got a two-year-old LM, like we talked about, and
LM, large monster.
Yeah.
Thanks. I was confused.
Keep it as GSP people up right. to speed. Thank you.
Right on. Yeah. So it's all been about the dog trainers. So I am super excited to see Dr. Cartrell Cooper. Is that how you say his name? So I hadn't heard of him before. And he's doing a seminar on urban dog training, and so I'm really excited about that.
I mean, you're the least urban person I know.
Exactly, I'm about as rural as they come. But the cool thing is not only do I love listening to all dog trainers and kind of finding what things align with my beliefs and how I want to train my dog, but I think it's really cool to be super real with folks because everybody's life situation is different. Mm-hmm. How much time you have, if you have access to birds, and it looks like he has extensive training not only in the bird dog world, but also with service dogs, companion animals, show dogs, and a lot of other things like that. So it's fun to listen to some of those aspects mold into the bird dog training piece. So cool. Yeah, I'm looking forward to that.
It always comes back to dogs.
Yeah.
I mean, when we have historically surveyed our members, why did you come to the show?
Yep.
The number one reason, the dogs.
Yeah.
Why would you come back? Number one reason, the dogs.
Yep.
All right, Shannon, are you going back to the dogs or what's on your calendar to
I gotta pick
to check
different
out?
Now. No, the bird dog stage is always whenever I can sneak by and grab whatever nuggets of knowledge I can throughout the day. The lineup is always really stellar on the bird dog stage, as well as the other stages. But my new and favorite kind of that's coming is Danielle Pruitt.
Oh,
so,
yeah.
Author of Wild and Whole, cookbook with a meat eater, and she's going to be on the Bath to the Upland stage, I believe both Friday and Saturday, and then she's also going to be speaking for an hour for people to meet and greet in the Women on the Wing Lounge on Saturday. So
the Women on the Wing Lounge, which is what?
Yes. So the Women on the Wing Lounge is right on the show floor. It is an environment similar to our stages where every hour there's going to be a featured woman of note in our industry, whether it be talking about bird dogs or gun fitting or, you know, gear or training your bird dog or cooking. Yeah. So with Danielle, it's a really relaxed environment. So it's not structured as well as our other stages. It's more so just a relaxed environment where you can come and meet these fabulous women and throw some questions, you know, back and forth and get to meet and then kind of build that fellowship amongst the women that are in our industry.
Yeah, right. Danielle's phenomenal. I mean, she's been on the podcast a number of times. Terrific human being. She has a booth on the show floor.
Right.
And she will have cookbooks for sale there. And it, will she? Yeah.
They're working on it. Yep.
They're working on it. Okay. So I was going to say you can get the cookbook and have it autographed there.
That is, yes.
That's the plan.
That is the plan. Okay. So, no, I'm excited. That's on my list.
Yeah. Good deal.
But yeah, she's going to be talking about everything you need to know about cooking wild game birds. So. Cool.
All right, Jake, your turn. Of all those stages, what's got you excited for the upcoming event?
Well, I think Luke talked about the bird dog stage. Shannon talked about the path to the upland stage. There's a new stage that I can't remember if we did share this earlier, but we have the quail stage this year. And I'm excited because in the background I've been helping with a special launch of the Arizona Quail Initiative that we officially launched in December. We want to tell our guests, our attendees, more about this excellent opportunity to get involved and support our quail habitat restoration efforts that impact desert quail. And, you know, hopefully I won't get in trouble for maybe dropping some hints at some, you know, spoilers here. But if you follow along on this podcast, you may have heard me be involved with a special public access and habitat program. And speaking of new launches, well, we've got some important news to share from the public land stage on Saturday. And I am getting looks from across the room that I might be
You're laying
cut
out
off
some,
here. I'll be done now, but I would say it would be worth your while to come to the public land stage on Saturday.
You could lay out a couple more cookie crumbs. So public land stage Saturday, 11 a.m., and then the acronym PATH.
PATH, yes. So public access to habitat. Those are your crumbs. I don't know. I eat the cookies usually before I leave the crumbs. So it's going to be something important that we want to share with you, and it's going to be something impactful, and it will impact every public land enthusiast. You know, public land, upland hunter across the country that loves to hunt public lands and has an affinity towards our habitat mission. You're going to want to be there.
Yeah, right. It's you know, from a news perspective, 11 a.m. Saturday, public land stage is the biggest news piece we know is going to happen at this event. So if you're, well, for sure, if you're a member, chapter volunteer, be there. If you're a podcaster or a news reporter of any kind, there's your news nugget. 11 a.m. Saturday, public land stage. We have a major announcement related to public access, habitat, and the acronym PATH. All right. So let's run through the weekend. We'll start with Thursday. Shannon, tell us a little bit more about the concert.
Ooh, so it will be our second ever Concert for Conservation, and it is our second ever sold out. So super exciting. Last year we launched and raised over $100,000with our Concert for Conservation in Sioux Falls. And so we decided we should do it again. Mm. And this year we are featuring Muscadine Bloodline, fantastic duo out of Alabama area. So as Luke alluded to earlier, they're down in that quail neck of the woods and avid hunters. If you haven't checked them out, you're missing out. So we are, it is a sold out show. So next year
you can scalp them,
right? I can't say go get your tickets.
Yeah, well, which is cool. The other thing, when we say these sold out show and fundraiser, I think it's worth noting, like, both with the Trampled show and with the Muscadine show. So two things that are consistent here. Chester Floyd from Meat Eater is the opening act.
Yes.
Was the opening act last year. He's a terrific storyteller, wonderful guy, and he's coming back to do the show, open it up for Muscadine. The other thing, this is absolutely, truly a fundraiser. Every ticket last year and this year were purchased, you know, including employees.
Yeah.
So if folks are thinking, oh, yeah, all those Pheasants Forever and Quail Forever folks get free tickets. That ain't the case. You know, every employee is laying down their own credit card to be a part of the concert. It's not an obligation for people to be at the show, and they don't get free tickets. They're contributing back to the organization we all care about so much. So whether it's an employee, an exhibitor, a partner, you name it, everybody that's at that show wants to be at that show and is paying their own money to contribute back to the organization to be at that show. And I think that's cool. That's legit.
Yep.
Yeah.
And that's important that people know that too.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
So yeah, that's going to lay down the vibe right away.
Absolutely. Get the party started.
Yeah. And for folks that maybe don't know the name Muscadine Bloodline, you should. They opened for
Post
Malone to close out 2024. They're on a little bit of their own tour right now, and then they're going to spend their summer opening for Lainey Wilson. So they are on a rocket ship to stardom right now, and you got a little visit with the Pheasants Forever and Quail Forever crew in Kansas City. Keep it rolling. All right, things kick off for the rest of the attendees on Friday.
Yep.
Set the stage literally for us. Well, how do things get rolling on Friday?
So Friday, the one of my favorite parts, I think we're all smiling because the annual Bird Dog Parade, hosted by our own Bob St. Pierre.
MC Daniel, yeah.
But it is a kickoff where there is a long lineup of as many breeds as we can get in. Bob announces and gets them across the stage, and we celebrate all of those bird dogs that we love so much, and what makes them unique and the breeds that we're passionate about. And we do that all before doors open. So about 11 o'clock, folks can start lining up right by the registration booth area. And they'll start to see the lineup of the pups, and then they'll come through and we'll announce. And then following that, we cut the ribbon and open the doors for the show. But if you're in town, make sure you don't miss the Bird Dog Parade.
Take Friday off.
11 a.m., make sure you're there, right? Take an early lunch or take the whole darn day.
Right? Take the day.
There's, generally speaking, 4 dozen different breeds. We're still working on a couple right now, but 4 dozen different breeds, about 120 individual dogs and their owners, from all ages and all points on the map. You know, I can dial up my watch and like the woman from Washington's gonna be there.
Yeah.
You know, the guy Joe from Iowa will be there. You know, there'll be people from all over the country that, you know, are there every single year. We'll do the parade is sponsored by South Dakota Tourism and Purina.
Yep.
Carl Gunzer helps me announce the breeds with a nugget about each one. And we should mention also that Federal Ammunition is the presenting sponsor once again of the entire event. They've been with us riding shotgun on National Pheasant Fest and Quail Classic since the beginning. So thank you to our neighbors just up the street at Federal Ammunition. But the parade lasts about an hour, leads right to the ribbon cutting. We'll cut the ribbon, and the floodgate of hopefully 1,500 or 2,000 people that are watching the parade roll right in to see the show. And away we go. And when they get in the gates, they're going to be asked to become an elite member of Pheasants Forever and Quail Forever. What's the What's the proposition this year, Jake?
Well, it's my hope that every person that comes to Pheasant Fest is a member of Pheasants Forever or Quail Forever. You know, we want to welcome you. Whatever level of membership, you know, is best for you at this time. We just want you to be a part of this organization. And I think if you're not a member by the end of your time at Pheasant Fest, then I don't know what happened. But I remember my first Pheasant Fest, and it was after that event that I said, hey, I'm going to become a lifetime member.
Yeah.
And so when you get into the convention center and you get up to the main show floor, one of the first places you're going to be greeted is by the Elite Member booth. And if you're already a current Elite Member, stop on by and get your ribbon that will go on your name tag if you have a full weekend pass. And then you're going to see a stack of Yeti coolers.
Ooh.
And they are charcoal colored with this really cool, unique orange trim. So the handles, the latches, the PF or QF logo on them.
They're custom made.
They are custom made for Pheasants Forever and Quail Forever. Yeah. And so every new lifetime member, whether it's a Pheasants Forever lifetime member or Quail Forever lifetime member, will receive a Yeti Tundra 45 with this custom color. You can't go find that at any store.
No.
So it's custom for PFQF. We've got some special dog handler bags, Mud River dog handler bags for new Dog Life members. And so we hope that you find some inspiration, some opportunities to get involved with some new programs that might or might not be starting here in the next year. And that we can provide you with some information on the impact that you can make through your Elite membership. And again, if you're already an Elite member, there's an opportunity to complete the Elite Slam.
Yep.
And what better place than Kansas, in a state that you can hunt pheasants and quail, than to complete the Elite Member Slam by becoming an Elite Pheasants Forever member, an Elite Quail Forever member, and have a dog. Elite
All membership. Those dogs can come through and become life members.
Absolutely.
So.
Absolutely. So pretty cool way to upgrade and elevate your membership at Pheasant Fest.
And Elite membership or life membership for Pheasants Forever or Quail Forever, $1,000, right?
$1,000.
Dog life membership.
$500.
Yep. And then a patron membership is what?
A patron membership is a $10,000 membership commitment to the organization, and it is cumulative. So if you're currently a lifetime member and you say, now is the time, I've been a lifetime member, whether it's been 3 years or 30 years, that your lifetime membership counts towards your $10,000 membership level. So it would be a $9,000 upgrade. I have a really, really special gift for all new patron and gold patron.
Hmm.
Gold patrons at that $25,000 mark. And remember, cumulative in your membership, in your elite membership. But involving one of our partners that Luke and I visited with, Frost River Soft Goods out of Duluth, Minnesota, we have a really cool bag that I know we'll go with on many hunting trips and family reunions for decades to come that we're going to give to each new patron and gold patron
Sweet.
Member.
Yeah, Frost River does great work.
Yeah, mm-hmm. big fan. So, yeah.
All right, let's close out Friday night. You got two big events to choose from on Friday. Tell us about those.
Yeah, so we have, in the last few years, hosted an incredible Upland Rally event on Friday night. And if you're listening to this podcast, chances are at some point in time you've gone to a chapter-led chapter banquet in whatever state that you might reside in or whatever state you might have visited on a hunting trip. That Upland Rally is like the Super Bowl of chapter banquets with raffles and games and prizes and giveaways. I mean, the prizes that I've heard about that I promise I won't have any spoilers on are phenomenal. And so what do you guys think? 1,400 people might be at the Upland Rally, or at least hundreds of folks?
That's usually what we...
Yeah, I think we've sold at this moment of recording over 1,300, so it'll be close to 1,400.
Yes.
Big party. And yeah. I mean...
Live music. We got live Jones music. Coming this year.
Food.
Mm-hmm.
And boy, that's an opportunity to meet folks that have similar interests, passions, volunteerism aspirations from all across the country. Some of my closest friends now I met at an Upland rally years ago, and so that's pretty cool. I mean, for the folks that you might be following on social media, right, and you've never met them in person, odds are you're going to meet them at the Upland rally.
It's kind of a mashup between a pint night, a concert, and a banquet. Yes. Right?
It's
right.
High energy. Yeah. It's fun. It's a lot of fun.
And then for the first time, so our inaugural Bob White Ball that Luke had mentioned, this is in celebration of 2 decades of successful Quail Forever mission delivery. So 20 years of Quail Forever. And so we have a Bob White Ball planned, and we are literally rolling out an orange carpet. So I don't know if you've ever walked on a red carpet before. I have not. Maybe you've walked on an orange one. If you have not, those who are coming to the Bob White Ball are going to experience an orange carpet to welcome them. And that is going to feature an excellent lineup of speakers. It is a dinner event that has an incredible silent auction with it. It's a seated, ticketed dinner event. It's going to feature Marilyn Vetter, our president and CEO, and then also Chris Dorsey of Sporting Classics as our
television
keynote. Sporting Classics Television. Yep. Of our so we're excited about this. We know that we have probably have about 350 in attendance at that event.
Right.
And you could try to make it to both. I'm not making any guarantees. They're in somewhat proximity to one another. But that event is going to be one of the biggest fundraising events for Quail Forever in the history of the organization that night. So very special. I have a feeling while people will talk about the Upland Rally, I think the buzz around the convention floor the next day is going to be about that Bob White Ball.
The ball. Will there be dancing?
There will be dancing and live music. So hopefully different bands.
Yes.
Right? Yes. So, yeah. You won't see musicians running around trying to get to both events. But right. There will be some music, some dancing, some celebration. We cast the vision for the next 20 years of Quail Forever at that event as
right
well.
Listeners, if you haven't gotten picked up on the hint yet, it's going to be a heavily quail-influenced National Pheasant Fest and Quail Classic this year. And the Bob White Ball is one of the major components, bringing that, tying it all together. So after the Bob White Ball, after the Upland Rally, the Onyx After Party takes place. And speaking of Onyx, I want to shout out to our friends and supporters at Onyx, national sponsors of the organization and presenting or partner of On the Wing podcast as well. You can click on the link in the show notes. It'll take you to the Onyx website, and if you use the code PFQF, you can get 20% off your Onyx membership. And I'm guessing there's a lot of folks that are coming due about now as they get ready for spring turkey hunting. So do yourself a favor, go to that link, use the code PFQF, get 20% off, and you will be helping support Pheasants Forever and Quail Forever's wildlife habitat mission. All right, Saturday of the show, and there's no secret, the biggest day of any event, any trade show is Saturday. And people often ask me, what percentage of the attendees come on Saturday? And I would say it's like 60-65%. What do you think, Luke?
Yeah, at least that high, I would assume. Yeah.
So Saturday is the monster day. Give us the show hours on Saturday.
So we're 9 a.m. to 5:30 p.m. on Saturday, Bob.
Okay. So you got to get there. You can 9 a.m. to 5:30. And again, you can follow along on everything, the show hours, the stages, pheasantfest.org. As Jake mentioned, kind of the most newsworthy element is going to occur on Saturday, 11 a.m., public land stage. The special announcement related to our PATH program. So that's coming up on Saturday. We also have the major kind of evening event of the entire year for us, mm-hmm. and that's our national dinner. It is, like the concert, completely sold out. There's not a ticket to be had. And it's been that way for a couple of weeks now as we recorded. It's National Banquet Night featuring Clay Newcomb as the keynote speaker. And folks are probably, if they're hearing this for the first time, are like, Clay Newcomb's talking at Pheasant Fest and Quail Class? I thought he was a bear hunter. The reality is Clay's origin story starts with quail. So yep. Clay's going to tell his story and how quail relate to how he got involved in the outdoors. And that's part of our 20th anniversary celebration for Quail Forever, including we will also premiere right before Clay takes the stage the 20th anniversary film that Luke and I mentioned just a moment ago. So a lot happening on Saturday. Anything I missed, we'll go around the horn. Anything on Saturday you guys want to highlight?
Just stacked stage schedules, floor, you know, special features. So, yeah, I would just encourage folks to head to that Pheasant Fest.
If you want to catch the vibe you talked about, right?
Yes.
Saturday is the day you catch the vibe. Well, the concert, you catch the vibe. The Bird Dog Parade, you catch the vibe. Saturday, there's just something about the energy on the show floor on Saturday. All right, rolling into Sunday. Sunday's kind of Shannon's Sunday. There's some alliteration there. It's become kind of your baby, right?
No pressure.
A little bit. I mean, you have your fingerprints all over Sunday. So tell us a little bit about Sunday.
Yes, no, absolutely. So Sunday has historically been our family day. But we've really elevated it thanks to some great partners. This year, Equity Bank coming in and also supporting Bob White Ball, but they are a presenting sponsor for Family Day. And what that means is it opens up some more opportunities. Families are welcome all weekend, of course. We have a fantastic youth village with a ton of inclusions and activities and engagements. But come Family Day on Sunday, all kids 16 and under get in free. The first 500 families at the door to get in on Sunday, they will be receiving a free Rocked Outdoor quail.
Rocked Outdoor.
Yes, R-O-C-T.
Okay.
Rocked Outdoor. actually, a Minnesota company. They're based right here. So fantastic. And they make a quail dog toy, which is...
Quail dog toy.
Right.
And it's kind of a big quail.
Did you see it?
I think I saw a photo of it, and either the dog
one I might
was
hit
miniature or it was the biggest quail oriented dog toy I've ever seen. Yeah. So it might have just been weird the photo I saw, but it's a relatively big quail, is it?
It is a it's a good size. It's good for a dog, right? And a bird dog that obviously is sizable, but I mean, if normal quail were that size, I might have better luck hitting them, but no, so that's the first 500 families, in the door that, will receive one of those. So get there early. And then we'll also have some special treats and, things like that for families, throughout the day. But yeah, Youth Village, for sure. Check that out. If you're coming with littles, they've got a busy lineup of between a BB gun and they have game GAIM, which is an interactive shooting. They have a ton of just crafts and projects. Cookies for Conservation is mm-hmm, going to be mm-hmm. there, which is a really cool project as well. So there's a lot of engagement throughout the entire weekend. Get a little special.
Did you say
quail tattoo?
Did you say Cookies for Conservation?
Yes. Are you in?
I'm going to circle something else on my calendar. Yeah.
Coming all the way from Pennsylvania, a young lady who has made cookies and then is donating the proceeds to the organization.
Wow.
So my money is on the fact that she's going to be sold out by the time Sunday arrives.
I'm thinking.
She might be.
Yeah. Most likely.
Knowing our audience, but maybe not. Maybe not. Yeah. Look for the Cookies for Conservation booth on Friday, and you won't be disappointed.
Burner Bob.
Burner Bob, yeah.
Yes, Burner Bob or
Quail. Not me. Well, it might be. I might be. In this. I have been known to wear a Lucky the Leprechaun costume on occasion.
Oh. Burner Bob will be, though, in the Youth Village. So our big Quail mascot walking around a little bit there and get some photo ops. So make sure to check them out, too.
And we also have the Women on the Wing brunch.
We do. So from 9:30 to 11:30. Fantastic panel. This year's Women on the Wing brunch is really about, it's focused on rising together and women leaders in quail conservation. So our keynote speaker is Sarah Parker-Pawley. And then we have a great panel of some more fabulous women in the industry. So great topics, good food, good fellowship. We do still have some tickets available. So folks are welcome to still jump in on that. It's a neat event that we do annually, and you can really meet some great people, share stories, share your passion, and spread the wealth. I spread the wealth of knowledge, I should say.
So in terms of admission and what's available, what isn't, as we're recording this, a couple of days before it actually launches, so you know, everything's moving in real time. So go to pheasantfest.org. When you land on that page, it's, I think, the second box in the layout. Click on that, and you can, right now, if you're listening to this before the show actually gets here, you can buy BOGO tickets. And why wouldn't you, if you're coming to the show and you don't have, like, a full weekend package? Buy one, get one tickets, admissions are available right now. And then Women on the Wing brunch may or may not be available. It's getting close to being sold out, as well as Bob Boy Ball meal. We have to give meal counts, and things are fluid and running short at this moment in time. So check it out. What you find is what we got left. We can tell you definitively that the concert and the Saturday night event are both sold out. All right. Other thing going on Sunday morning, also at 9:30, is kind of a special attraction that we've never done before, Luke.
Yeah, something you don't need tickets for is the Meat Eater Meet and Greet. So Sunday morning at 9:30 a.m. to 10:30 a.m., you can meet our keynote speaker, Clay, Bear Grease, and Ryan Callahan, Danielle Pruitt, and my buddy Doug Duren. So 9:30 to 10:30 at the Shields store booth near the main entrance.
And don't show up at like 10:15 thinking you're getting
right.
Like, get there early. Get into the show floor. The actual meet and greet will start at 9:30. We are roping off a line, and Clay does have a very hard 10:30 getaway. So you heard it here. Yep. We
get there early, can line up.
Get through so many people. So get there early, line up. There is also another event happening on Sunday, and that's with some of our friends, North American Grouse Partnership, holding an event in companion with our organization.
Yeah, we've talked about quail. We've talked about pheasants in Kansas, and we can't go to Kansas without talking about prairie grouse. And this is pretty neat, too. It involves Meat Eater.
Yep.
And some of our partner organizations, but it's called A Celebration of Grouse and Prairie. Doors will open at 11:30, and this is put on and hosted by the North American Grouse Partnership. So leadership from these partner organizations, there's a silent auction. This is the first of its kind. Mm-hmm. It's pretty exciting to host this. I think this is going to be a highlight of the weekend, gathering these partner organizations and corporate partners together, all in celebrating prairie grouse habitat work, forecast for prairie grouse out on the landscape. I'm obsessed with prairie grouse hunting, so I better make sure I have someone covering the elite member booth during this time. So
I think as we finish running through everything going here, one thing that strikes me is how many times we've said the first ever. Right, I mean, I've been here for a long time. I've been here every single event, and this is one of the charms of this National Pheasant Fest and Quail Classic is our push to always reinvent it, to keep it fresh, keep it new. Mm-hmm. And you think about the run through. So the concert's the second ever, but new band, right? Mm-hmm. You got the Bob White Ball. You got this North American Grouse Partnership luncheon, meat eater meet and greet. You know, the vendors, the exhibitors sort of swap out each year because of the geography of where we're located and what's new. You know, the 20th anniversary of Quail Forever, the first time we have ever had a dedicated quail stage. And, you know, point of fact, we've never had a dedicated pheasant stage, right? It highlights the effort we've made to raise quail and the Quail Forever component of the organization, the quail trail. The quail, the footprint of the area that includes all the different quail outfitters and mm-hmm. partners and our friends from southern points south that have bringing apparel, you know, marsupial and marshware and duck camp. So it's really stunning when you go through all this and like first ever. That's pretty cool.
Yeah, pretty cool. And everybody wants to do parties and events. The Flush was just on social media talking about their live podcast today, and I know a few of the vendors are hosting happy hours on the show floor, so it's just more and more things going on each year. Yeah. Really is the great get together.
I think BHA is holding a pint night Wednesday before, you know, things really get rolling.
Yep.
The local chapter is. And then, like you mentioned, the Flush is holding a live podcast on Friday when the Upland Rally and the Bob White Ball are going on. There's just, like, Kansas City is the place to be.
Right.
Epicenter of the Uplands, March 6th, 7th, 8th, 9th. So mm-hmm. that's pretty fun.
Yep.
As we round out this your nickel tour, your dime tour, audio preview of National Pheasant Fest and Quail Classic, I want to take a little time and, you know, we've shared some of the attractions and things that are coming up, but let's take a moment and reminisce, like, what stands out, like, as a highlight memory for you from years past? We'll go around the horn and start with Luke.
Yeah, I mean, like you mentioned, I mean, we're accomplishing mission just by showing up. So I think probably if I'm being honest, my favorite memory from Pheasant Fest is Build a Wildlife Area in 2020. That first year we did the public land stage and created an initiative to raise funds about putting a new publicly accessible piece of habitat on the ground. So the neat thing for me, you know, I work with our corporate partners on a daily basis. I don't go out in the field and do the actual habitat. So to plan that and get partners on the board to support it, knowing that attendees on the show floor could donate towards it, and then wrapping up the entire show and bringing that together all the way to the dedication of the new parcel of property. That one happened to be in northwestern Minnesota.
Cupido.
Yeah. So that, to me, is probably one of my best full circle memory where I could see it start to finish, and all as a result of this event. So, and we continue that with our public land stage and a different initiative each year. So,
I love that point too, because it's lots of entities hold sports shows, outdoor shows. I don't know of a single one where you have a 3-day event, and as a result, there's a piece of property, in the case that you're, Cupido Wildlife Management Area, as a result of the 2020 event and the Build a Wildlife Area campaign, where there's a new property out there on the landscape for anybody to go and enjoy that's protecting habitat, where pheasants, in this case, greater prairie chickens, there's even moose on this particular property. I mean, that's a tremendous statement. And then you add the private lands biologist talking at the landowner habitat help area, where you can pull a satellite image of person's property and talk to them about different programs that can improve their land for habitat and for wildlife. This event leaves a lasting impact on the landscape, and that is something that I'm also damn proud of.
Right.
Yeah. What do you think, Shannon?
I can't just say ditto.
That's heavy.
Oh, You know, I think last year probably stands out, you know, to your point, Bob. We talked about a lot of firsts this year, and I think we had a lot of firsts last year. So I still remember Saturday evening last year as things had started to get rolling, as we had launched our first Concert for Conservation, as we had launched our first, you know, Women on the Wing Lounge, we had launched, you know, there were first, you know, Exhibitor Lounge, like all of these firsts. And really it's about growing the show to provide more impact. And it's about growing the show to build that audience and to build that reunion and to build the celebration. And we've continued to do that. Just when you're kind of like, how can it grow more? And so that's just really awesome. It's really awesome to see it continue to grow. And even this year, we have inches left on the show floor, and that's about it. But we expanded it, you know, from 2016, a huge chunk. So to look at that and to look at how that community has grown with exhibitors and supporters and just partners that really have the same, you know, passion and mindset and want to make this this big reunion with a pretty cool vibe happen. Mm-hmm. So it's fun to see when you get to the end that it all came together and then we're already 10 steps onto the next one. No joke, right?
But, I mean, that's true, because you're, you know, at the Saturday night event, we'll have the unveil of the short video announcing the next location.
Yep.
And then Sunday, you know, the sales team's out on the show floor signing up renewals, right? I mean, no rest for the wicked, right?
No.
It doesn't stop. But I bet that first fest, you could probably walk the show and see everything in a day, right?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
For sure.
I mean, it was
a ballroom?
It was a ballroom at the Minneapolis Red. And I remember, I think it was Irish Setter Boots. They came in relatively late.
Yeah.
We were out of show space, and they actually set up underneath the escalator.
we'll find a space.
Yeah, and there was a... It was them and a cigar company that came in super late, and they were both, like, cramped underneath an escalator at the Radisson.
Yeah, just to be clear, you can't come in like that nowadays. Yeah. I'm not going to sign you up for a booth, sorry. No.
There is an escalator in Kansas.
That's true.
If you would like to get the under the escalator booth spot, L. Ramthun, that's Ramthun, at pheasantsforever.org. We'll sell you a screaming deal on the below escalator spot. You're going to kick my ass.
I can't believe you did that. Oh, man.
That's too funny.
No, plan a couple days, everybody. Come see the show.
You've lost hair, haven't you?
Oh, there's a lot of gray, that's for sure. Awesome. Some more now.
Let me know when you get the first phone
All right.
call.
Sounds good.
Or email.
Sounds good.
His out of office just got changed. Yeah.
He's literally sweating right now. Yeah. I've caused an anxiety attack. All right, Jake, take us home. What's your most memorable moment?
Well, I was thinking about that 2020 Pheasant Fest and Quail Classic, and I came as both a chapter volunteer, and then I was helping at one of the vendor booths. So back to one of the first comments I made, moving from South Dakota to Wisconsin at that time, I was living in Watertown, and the Watertown Convention and Visitors Bureau had a booth sharing the story of the opportunities to come to the Glacial Lakes region, and I had volunteered to be at that booth all day, and I was right next to Blue Nest Beef. They were cooking burgers all 3 days, yep. And so I was like, I just kept smelling burgers, and I ate a few of them, and it was this cool experience that I had no clue was possible, and I was new to Pheasants Forever, and I had no clue the size and the impact of this community of conservationists and upland hunters. And so my favorite part of Pheasant Fest has been the inspiration that I feel on that drive home after 3 days of this, and these what we hear and read about of the uplands needs us and conservation needs us and upland species of wildlife need us. And sometimes those stories are kind of doom and gloom. We've lost this many acres. This is the next problem. This is the next issue. And you can't help but feel on that drive home from Pheasant Fest that there's like there's hope for this. Like the energy and the excitement and the people in this community, and from Women on the Wing events to bird dog parades to everything in between, there's hope. Like we can do this together. And that is like the weekend that all of a sudden charges me up and says, this is why I'm so invested in this cause. And I guarantee coming to this event, you'll feel that on the drive home.
And if you don't, you can email Jake Hansen at jhansen at pheasantsforever.org and get your money back. I'm just kidding.
And we will put you under the escalator next year.
Next year.
No, I think universally I feel that same sense of joy, not only because the event is over for another year, because it's a mountain of work, but it is you ride a high at the end of this with all the shared friendships that you've been able to reconnect, and the sense of optimism you feel when you leave this event. It's a truly a celebration of things that we all cherish and care about, from dogs to great outdoors and public lands and shotguns and lots of friendships. So thank you all for sharing your stories and your thoughts.
Spoilers.
That's all right.
Thank you.
Folks, please check out the website, pheasantfest.org. All your information is there. The stages, the admissions, the attractions, and Luke's email address if you want to get that booth underneath the escalator.
Sounds good.
See you in Kansas City. You can probably see the employee team if you get there early at one of the barbecue spots having dinner. Anyways, I'm Bob St. Pierre reminding you to always follow the dog. Something good will rise. Thanks for listening, folks.